And indeed, there's no denying that New Zealand women are a dominant presence in Tokyo. Lisa Carrington, the women's sevens, Emma Twigg and the Coxless pair, Kerry Gowler and Grace Prendergast, all taking gold. Women's double scull, Hannah Osborne and Brooke Donoghue taking home silver, and the women's eight rowing as well. Also last night's cycle race, Elise Andrews getting the silver there. Dame Valerie Adams, of course, also adding a bronze. Let's talk with Women in Sport Aotearoa's Rachel Froggatt, who's with us now. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Morning, Susie.
Must be pretty amazing for you watching all of these women turning in extraordinary performances.
Do you know what? It's been a very emotional 10 days, I have to say. It's been one of those moments, I think, you'll always remember in your career where you finally watch, you know, these amazing athletes come to the fore and represent New Zealand on such a phenomenal level. And I think, you know, Lisa Carrington is, as we often say in the office, she's next level. I don't know if she's actually quite human.
We were just talking about that actually in the office this morning. It was like, yeah, she's the superhuman one, eh? And on that score, I mean, how important is she to the team as a kind of a figurehead, I suppose, and a talisman, really?
She absolutely is. I think, you know, Women in Sport Aotearoa was established at the end of 2016 with a view to advancing gender equity and equality for women in sport across Aotearoa New Zealand. And there's now hundreds of women and men working towards that ambition. And to have talismans like Lisa, like Val Adams, like the Black Fern Sevens, Emma Twigg, you know, standing up on that world stage. And I think what's been so curious and what's been so wonderful about the last 10 days is how New Zealanders and our media have dropped all sorts of gendered ideas about who the athlete is and just celebrated them for being a high-performing Kiwi on the world stage. And I think that's brilliant. That's what the Olympics and the Paralympics can bring in a way that our, you know, day-to-day sport perhaps isn't able to just quite yet.
That's an interesting point, actually, because often you do hear some of the things said about women's sport is, oh, it's not as exciting to watch, or, you know, that kind of stuff, which, you know, you can take issue with that anyway. But here, that has really been shown, that the celebrations that have been had and seeing people's reactions on social media have been extraordinary to some of these female competitors.
I think that's what's been wonderful. I've had the privilege of being down at the Cloud a couple of times this week in Auckland, which, as you know, is New Zealand headquarters. And I was down there for Lisa's race yesterday, and there were hundreds of school kids in there, you know, aged between about the ages of, say, 10 and 14, boys and girls, who were just in awe of the performance of our most successful Olympian of all time. And they just didn't question the fact that Lisa was a woman. They were talking about her athleticism, her power, her commitment. You know, I was just listening to your report about how she had to be helped from the boat. You know, she gave it absolutely everything she possibly could, and there wasn't question. And I think what we need to do as a country now is to take that feeling forward and to look at all of our female athletes and all of our female teams through that same lens, you know, that they are committed Kiwis standing on the world stage doing us proud. And I really hope that, you know, in a few weeks' time we don't perhaps slide back into our old ways where we're in a situation where only 15% of all media on an annual basis is committed to women's sport, and when we're in a situation where, you know, there's just the visibility just isn't there, you know, on a year-round basis, because we've proven it's exciting.
Absolutely. Now, what as well do you think is going to be the trickle-down perhaps from this Tokyo Olympics for, like you're saying, those young school children who were down at the Cloud watching Lisa Carrington yesterday? Are you hoping that this is, for some of them, that's where the seeds planted, this is the inspiration?
It absolutely is where the seeds planted. I think the challenge ahead is going to be for the system to be able to respond to that in the most appropriate fashion. So, you know, we have this amazing performance at a high performance level, but when you start to dig down into the way that sport and recreation is being delivered in this country at a community level, at a grassroots level, the experience still isn't always great for women and girls. And a couple of days ago, I was told a story about a young hockey team in Christchurch, a young female hockey team, who don't have changing rooms in their clubhouse and they have to get changed in the hallway, for example. You know, a couple of weeks before that, I was told about, probably not a particularly nice story about a young woman leaving, you know, her sport because of a bullying instance between the boys and the girls team at their club. You know, So there are experiences happening at all levels of the system that are not right, you know, especially in a country as progressive and inclusive as New Zealand. And I think that's the challenge. You know, the system needs to step up now to capture all these really excited and inspired young women who will want to take their journey into sport now.
I mean, this is more of a question, I guess, for, you know, it's wider than just New Zealand. But there have been some debates at the Olympics that have been a bit more around the edges, around the female teams, around perhaps what some of the female teams should be wearing. There was a team that was fined for wearing the wrong kind of, you know, undies, essentially. You know, and for example, women boxing at the Olympics, they're still wearing headgear because there's not been any research done to see whether it's safe or not. The men, I notice, have taken it off. You know, do we still have some niggles? Maybe they're more than niggles to iron out here on the world stage.
Yeah, absolutely. And New Zealand is hosting the International Working Group on Women in Sport Secretariat and World Conference at the moment, which is a really significant global appointment that Women in Sport Aotearoa is leading on behalf of our consortium. And we actually have the World Conference here next May, borders allowing. It will be a virtual and a physical experience. And what's exciting about that is that it's traditionally attended by all of the major sports leaders in the world, including the International Olympic Committee, International Paralympic Committee, FIFA, World Rugby, International Cricket. And they will all be here to look at how we progress gender equity and equality in sport on a worldwide basis. And these big questions about choice, you know, choice is the big issue here for these female athletes, but especially this Norwegian beach handball team who are required to wear, quite frankly, a totally unsuitable set of uniforms to perform on a world stage in an Olympic competition. They should have the choice to wear what's functional and what suits the sport that they're performing in. And there's still these old-fashioned decisions being made that just need to be hit head-on now. And I think the Olympics is going to be that catalyst to do that now.
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much for coming on RNZ National. Rachel Froggatt there from Women in Sport Aotearoa.